This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show, Season 3. Episode 4. Look at that.
Can we turn that into a song at the top of the show?
Can we workshop that right now? I need to workshop that. We'll workshop that off air.
Aw, but people love it when we workshop these things on air. That's what they come here for, Eric.
I don't know, Danny. I don't know.
What does producer Chris think? Do people like to hear us workshop stuff or no?
I'll bet it's probably 50-50.
So should we flip a coin? Can we flip a coin?
It can go one of two ways.
Can this we flip a coin?
I know. Well, let's not. As a professional singer, I do not put something out that is not good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to like that. You got to protect the brand.
As a semi-professional singer, I like.
Right. But we are back, folks. We are back for episode number 4 of season 3 of the Christmas Countdown Show. We are doing our second half of our list of top 10 Christmas movie characters.
Yes.
So we already did 10 through 6. We're going to do 5 through 1. It's going to be a great list. We got a lot of fun things to talk about today.
So many fun things. Festively fun to talk about.
It is. We are getting closer and closer to Christmas. Today is the, if you're listening to this when it drops, it is the 26th of October. So it's almost Halloween.
Less than 2 months until Christmas Day. 2 months from today will be the day after Christmas.
Yikes.
And we'll all be crying.
Sad.
But today we're not.
That's right. Today we are happy.
Let's live in the present,
folks. Today we are happy. Danny and I are wearing new merch.
We are. I'm so hot right now. Are you hot?
It is a little warm. It's yeah. Well, we're in Southern California and it is about 80 degrees outside.
Dude, what is going on?
I don't know. This is why we need to not live here, Danny. We need to go
it
move
was getting
to the cold.
Cool. And then all of a sudden it was like, let's give you some 90s. Yeah. Like last week I was looking at the weather. Now I started looking at the weather for recording days.
Sure.
Because the thing is, the way our office building works, where our studio is that it's a thermostat, but it's a thermostat for every unit in the building. And so until it hits that temperature, and it's locked, I should say this, it's locked behind a box that we can see from the studio.
No access, though.
And we can't get to it. So like until it hits the the thermostat temperature.
Yeah.
We're scorching in here. Like, I'm really toasty right now.
It's warm. And these are also very warm hoodies. I
was just going to say.
These are very warm hoodies. So if you are feeling cold wherever you are, you got to get one of these. So I'm wearing the very fun. They made these shirts for sort of like the Friends, you know, the TV show Friends.
Like Ross and.
Yeah, or they do like, the Lakers and they put LeBron and AD and whatever. So now we have Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, and Rudolph.
You know what I was tempted to do when we were working on that design?
What?
Was to do Blixum instead of Blitzen for like a deep cut or like Donder.
Yeah, we did talk about Donder as opposed to Donner.
Yeah, or should we have done like the parenthetical after the end?
Afterwards.
So like Donder, but we went for what everybody
the classics,
knows. Yeah. It's a great looking hoodie.
It is a great hoodie.
It's
kind of punk rock, which I like.
Yeah, I like that it's a little snug.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
That like it the feels way like that a hoodie should be.
As it should be. I hate baggy hoodies.
See, I'm a large, and I'm barely a large. I'm really probably an extra large, but I fit myself into larges. But usually when I order hoodies, I get mediums.
Really?
Because I like them to be almost like a little short.
Ooh.
I don't know why. I think it's the punk rock in me, is that like that's how they always wore their hoodies in like the punk rock bands. It was like really tight, almost a little too short in the sleeves. And
short sleeves are like the bane of my existence. Like if I buy a shirt, like a long sleeve shirt or a hoodie in this case, and I wash it and the sleeves just come up a little too high, I will never wear it ever again. Or I will only wear it with the sleeves pulled up to my elbows.
Sure.
But these sleeves they're snug.
They're very good.
They fit great.
Good length.
Good length. It feels durable. Obviously, it's keeping us warm.
Tell them about your hoodie there.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about this one. This one is for the Swifties. Really. So it says on the hoodie that I'm wearing, it says, I'm in my Christmas era.
Yes.
And I debated when we were designing this. I was like, should it just say in my Christmas era? Or does it need to say I'm in my Christmas era?
Like I'm in.
And I will admit, I went to Google to try to figure out what like the generation that's younger than us was saying. I was like, I looked up, I was like, is it I'm in my Christmas era or not Christmas era, but I was like in my era.
Yeah.
And I got conflicting reports And so
I think it looks good.
Does it look good?
Yeah, it looks great.
I think it looks pretty darn slick.
Yeah.
And people can get these right now.
Yeah.
On our website.
ChristmasCountdownShow.com.
It's true. And if you want to get 10% off, we just started a new thing on the website. When the site loads, you just sign up for our mailing list.
Yeah, mailing list. And then you get 10% off.
10%. Who doesn't love a discount?
And we got a lot of good merch. We're going to slowly throughout the season be sort of showcasing them, especially if you're watching us on YouTube or on the socials, perhaps.
Yes.
But we have new designs going up constantly because we do work with a company that allows us to put a lot of designs up there. So Danny and I, we just did one this morning. Did I send it to you? The bright side one?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I have to fix it a little more, but we're doing a Star Wars-themed sort of Christmassy.
Yeah, because I was working on a caption for a video that I was putting up on our Instagram over the weekend, and I was talking about, like, oh, you've heard of the dark side, but come on over to the Marianne bright side. Yep. And so then I text Eric. I was like, can you do
Bright Side,
but like Star Wars vibe? So if you're a Star Wars and a Christmas fan, this one is going to be perfect for you. Anyway, these sleeves are probably going to be like up around like my biceps by the end of this. I'm just hot. I'm running hot
right now. It's warm and the air is not going, as we said.
Well, it'll come on eventually.
As it were.
I believe. Anyway, I'm glad to be back here. And speaking of things that happened over the weekend or recently, I saw on your social media that you and your family went to a pumpkin patch.
We did. We went to Underwood Family Farms, which is such a great place if you live in Southern California.
It's the best.
It's this huge farm, and they have obviously a huge pumpkin patch. They have a big corn maze, which we did, and we actually got separated from our kids in the corn maze. It was a little scary. Like, we were to the point where we were doing the full-on parent yell, like, with other people around us being like, Sophie! Miles! Where are you?
Were they screaming back at you, or were they giggling?
They couldn't hear us.
Oh, really?
We literally got separated, and it's like full cornstalk height, so like we could not see them. And then eventually, after probably about like 7 or 8 minutes, which is a pretty long time to not know where your kids are, we heard them. We yelled, and they were like, "Yeah!" And we're like, "Stay where you are!"
They're like sitting over on a bale of hay, having a slice of pumpkin pie.
They had made it to the end, and then we found them at the end, but. But the whole pumpkin patch was great. They do pig races at Underwood Family Farms, which is my favorite, where they race like 4 pigs and they make them jump over little hurdles and run through the water and stuff. Very fun. And our pig won, which was good.
Did he? Did he have a funny name?
He won 2 of 3.
Okay.
So he was definitely the big winner. He was just the yellow pig.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They didn't give him squeals.
Sometimes they do give him like funny names, but this time they just give him colors.
Oh, okay. That's fun. Don't want to get too attached to them.
Yeah, exactly. And my kids definitely, there was a bunch of chickens. They have goats and chickens and cows and everything. And I was like looking at one of these chickens, and I was like, that looks pretty tasty. And Miles was like, Daddy, no. And I was like, you like chicken, don't lie.
I made the same joke at my sister's wedding a couple weeks ago. There was like the taco cart guy was there cooking chicken.
Yeah.
And it was at a farm.
Sure.
So like everyone's like, oh, what's that over there? And I was like, that would be dinner
right there.
Absolutely. And everyone was like, come on. I was like, y'all,
it is.
It literally is dinner right now.
What's the problem? Yeah.
Sorry, vegetarians.
But it was, we had a good time. And my brother and my sister-in-law and my niece went.
Oh, Waverly.
Waverly. And she was just so adorable, just loving it and, you know, climbing all over stuff and doing the swing.
Is she 2 now?
She'll be 2 in November. Oh, so, yeah, any minute, yeah.
Because you became an uncle for the first time on season 1.
Yeah.
Of our show.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild to think that like...
Not for the first time, because my Lisa's brother has a daughter.
That's right. But it was first time one of your siblings...
Yes, one of my siblings.
Had a kid. I remember like how exciting that was and getting to celebrate the first Christmas.
It was really great,
And now 2 years later, life.
It is crazy.
Time just keeps on slipping.
It's great. Yeah.
But how fun that we get to sort of be the bearer of those memories, and you guys will talk about that, I'm sure... You know, on her 13th birthday, you'd be like, I remember when you were climbing on the hay at Underwood Farms. When you were
I got a great picture of her. I never thought to take a picture like this. I was trying to take a picture of Waverly, and she was climbing in all the pumpkins, like in the patch. And usually you would take it sort of straight on, maybe a little bit an angle from the top or from the bottom. But essentially, you're looking out at it.
Right.
And she happened to be sort of climbing, and she was climbing like right at my feet. And I just took like a completely overhead shot of her. And I said, Waverly. And she looked up. And her, like, looking up and the way the light landed and the pumpkins all around her, it was actually, like, a really, really great picture. And I was like, that's, like, actually kind of a cool way to get a kid picture, because kids so often, especially at that young age, are they're looking up. And right. So it gives you sort of that memory of like, wow, they were so little.
Just yeah. That's amazing. Did you guys take the picture, speaking of like photos and the kids, yeah. did you see like the like how tall are you this fall
yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
Did you guys do that?
We photo? Didn't do that. They did it with Waverly.
Okay. You didn't do it for yourself?
No, I didn't do it for myself. we probably should have done it with our kids. But
yeah. It'd be funny to do a reverse version of that rather than like a kid getting older is like you in your 40s and then go back in your 70s and like you went from 6 foot to like yeah. 5 foot yeah. seven.
Totally.
That'd be really, really funny. Yeah. I might start doing that this year because we're going to the same pumpkin patch yeah, yeah. in a couple weeks, which I'm really, really excited about.
Get the cheese curds.
Should I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Have you had cheese curds before?
I've had them in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Which is, I know, they'll be like just an appetizer yeah. on the menu in Wisconsin. And they do them like fried or
yeah, these are
not fried. Oh, they?
They're very good.
I feel like that's the only way to do a cheese curd, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I do like cheese curds that are just the cheese. Mm. I actually just at the store got a thing of cheese curds that were dill pickle
ooh.
Flavored. So I'm excited. I haven't opened them up yet. But
that's got to be a Trader Joe's thing.
I think it was.
Yeah. I feel like Trader Joe's is like, famous for that.
For
like,
that kind of
you could go to Vaughn's and get, or Ralph's or wherever you shop, yeah. get some cheese curds. But when you go to Trader Joe's,
those are the good ones.
They got cheese curds. We're like, well, we've got pumpkin flavor, garlic right. flavor, yeah. You know, sriracha flavor, yeah. all that sort of stuff, which is one of the things I love most about
Trader Joe's.
They're the best.
Parking, not so much, but.
Oh my gosh.
Parking at every Trader Joe's is just always terrible.
It's literally the worst.
Yeah.
Why can't they figure that out?
I got a good one in Pasadena. Nice big okay. open parking
oh,
lot.
Oh, do you?
There's a big yeah. parking lot there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to trunch out there.
I like how the Halloween...
Is that a word?
Trunch?
Trek.
Trek.
I think I was trying to say trek, and I said trunch. We'll trunch on out there.
But trudge.
Trudge. Maybe that's where I was...
Yeah. Muddy Pasadena.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
go trudge our way out yeah. there. Well, speaking of like pumpkins and fall things, I had this idea, Eric, you know, because this episode is coming out 5 days before Halloween,
yes.
there might be some people out there who are like, oh crap, I've got a 2-year-old or whatever, life's gotten away from me. I don't have a Halloween costume
sure.
idea. Or maybe they're just like us. They're not huge Halloween fans, but they want to bring a little bit of the Christmas spirit
yeah.
to spooky season.
Get people ready.
I was thinking maybe you and I could just like share a few suggestions, maybe like do like an impromptu top three.
I like it.
Christmas themed Halloween costumes list.
I love it.
Are you on board?
I'm on board.
All right. You want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay.
Also, I have to say, my daughter, her Halloween costume just came in the other day, and she's being a reindeer.
That's so amazing.
So she's doing this trend. Okay, this first one is a very fun idea. It's an interesting how you would put this together, but essentially, this person is going as a mantle, like a fireplace mantle.
Like we sort of have here in our studio.
Like we have here. So basically, she's wearing a hoodie that she has painted bricks across like the top of her chest and along her arms.
Oh, that's so smart.
So that if she puts her arms out, she is like the mantelpiece.
Is it a brown hoodie? Or
what? Yeah. And then like on her belly, she has flames. So it's like that's the flames. And then she's hung like stockings and little Christmas cards and tinsel all along her arms and across her chest. So she really does truly look like a mantelpiece.
Oh, that's
amazing.
A
pretty good one. Right, so there's a bunch of people that have done it.
So that's your number three?
Yeah, that's my number.
All right, that's a strong number three. Okay. I'm going to do one. This one sort of hit me the other day. I was like, this would be really, really funny if somebody did this. Is go as a trash bag,
mm-hmm.
a big trash bag, but have spilling out of the top of the trash bag Christmas wrapping paper.
Oh, that's good.
Wouldn't that be super fun?
That's good. You could do it as a couple, and you could have the dad, the man, because dads always do this, have yeah. the man just be dressed in like Christmas pajamas.
Yes.
And then have the wife be the bag or whatever, or the partner, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's constantly dropping like wrapping paper on the ground, and he's constantly picking
yes.
it up and putting it back
oh,
into
I love
her
it.
Trash
and
bag.
He's got a couple extra bags
couple,
in,
yeah,
in
just
his
to,
back
just
pocket.
In case, yeah, ready to go.
See, that's fun. Then you make it a tandem yeah. sort of situation. So that would be now how you're, maybe you'd have to do your legs. I don't know how you decorate your legs so it doesn't
yeah.
look like a bag. Maybe you'd, I don't wrap some wrapping paper around
sure,
your legs
yeah.
so it's like wrapping paper that's still on the ground
sure, yeah, yeah.
around the bag.
Yeah.
Might be kind
well,
of fun.
It could even look like a roll of wrapping paper.
Ooh, and your legs.
That's really, yeah, yes, that's wrapping paper rolls. That's brilliant.
That's pretty
good.
I love
that idea. All right, that's my number three.
I like that. You know, this, I'm not using this as one because it's not really Christmassy, but there was a guy in my fraternity that went as leftovers one year for Halloween, and he just wrapped himself in tinfoil. And that's then he just brilliant. Wrote leftovers like on in scotch tape, like over his chest.
I went to this like costume carnival once, and there was a group of like eight people that went as like a dinner table, and all of their heads were like poking out of the plates, and they were all different dishes.
Types of food? That's kind of cool. Like, they had to stay together.
They had to stay together because there was like a full on like tablecloth over it, and like they had like drink cups like, you know, glued to the table. I was like, that's amazing. But also, you got to really commit to that thing. Because if you pop your head out of that and you're just walking around with like a turkey on your face, people don't really, they're like, why you got a turkey face?
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty impressive.
All right, Danny, you're going to like this next one.
Okay.
You go as Clark Griswold. Oh. But now here's how you do it. You get yourself a flannel shirt. You get yourself a vest.
Yes.
Maybe a Chicago Bears hat if you got it. And then you take some Christmas lights and you just bungee them all together in a huge mass. And then you just carry that around and kind of go,
That's
and you
great.
Just mess with the Christmas lights.
Amazing.
Pretty easy to do.
Or audible on that, you get a chainsaw.
Sure, you could do that.
And you walk around and you just say, I wasn't talking to you. That's what you say to everybody all night long.
Right.
That's a great one. All right, next, I'm going to go with, okay, say you're a group of friends, right? You're two besties, or maybe you're two like parents and you got one kid.
Sure.
Go as the Christmas version of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That could be fun.
So you do like a red shirt for Alvin with like a red hat,
yeah.
You know, with his hair sort of coming out. But if you're Alvin, you got to have a hula hoop.
Wish I had a hula hoop.
And then I don't know if it's Simon or Theodore who's like want a plane that loops the loop.
Yep.
So the other one could have like a plane. They wear the green shirt, and then you've got the other person in like a blue shirt. But they got to be like the really, really long shirts that go down.
Ankle length.
I don't know where you buy those.
Yeah.
Where do you buy those?
I mean, that's like an old school sleep shirt that like Scrooge would wear.
Do you remember when, like, having sleep shirts? Like, shirts that you only wore to sleep in?
Like my son. I mean, he has pajamas that, and I'm like, sometimes it's really hot, and I'm like, do you want to just, like, take your shirt off? You can sleep, it's just your bare chest. And he's like, no, I must be wearing a shirt. And I'm like, son, you're okay. Like, you can have your shirt off when you sleep if it's hot.
But a sleep shirt always had to be really big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It needed to be, like, a double XL sort of situation, and you would wash it so frequently that, the print would get faded on it. It was so soft. Let's bring sleep shirts back.
I like that.
So that's my number two, Alvin and the Chipmunks, but the Christmas version.
I like that. For number one for me, this is a good one and easy to do.
Mm.
You get yourself a green shirt.
Okay.
Like a forest green shirt. And then you take tinsel and you wrap it all around your body from starting at your waist going up to about your chest. Now, the best part of this costume is you then wrap it also around your arms. And when you're standing, it just looks like you kind of are wrapped in tinsel. But if you put your hands up above you, like you're making like a church steeple kind of position, and then you hold a little star, then it will look like you're completely wrapped in your Christmas tree.
Oh.
It's pretty good and easy to do.
That's brilliant. See, this is what we're giving is like super easy ideas.
Yeah.
Because like you can go to the store and get tinsel. You might have some in your garage. Sure. You've probably got a green shirt somewhere. Yeah. Throw on some brown pants.
Boom,
you're a Christmas tree. Yeah, and if you really want to go the extra mile, grab some like needles from a local park, and as you walk around through the night,
toss
sprinkle
them everywhere.
Everywhere you go. And then carry a water bucket, like, oh, I need some water.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm workshopping as we're going here. All right, so that's a great one. All right, my last one. Oh, this is so hard. I gotta go with the little Nero pizza delivery guy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because, you know, you can go online now, like shops like Etsy and all these places, and you can get like the actual like,
same, like
jacket.
Satin jacket, yeah.
And if you're like me and you have a good friend like Eric who gifted you the little Nero's pizza hat.
And that gift only took a year to give to
you? It only took a year to get to me. Etsy is usually a little faster, I will let you know. But it's super easy. You could probably hop on Etsy or some online shop today, order it, get your jacket, get your hat, and then go to like a local pizza shop, get a pizza box.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're really dedicated, go steal a lawn ornament from somebody's house.
Just keep knocking
it
over.
Just keep knocking it down.
It's about this size. You could go and get like one of these like plastic
Santas or something like that, and then you just keep setting it like a foot in front of you, yes. and then walk into it and knock it over.
Yeah.
And then take two more steps and then walk into it and knock it over. And just keep doing that the whole night.
Maybe like get like a cardboard box and make like a red car around you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
That's
then
good.
Just keep crashing.
And I think you got to get one of those like blonde, like surfer guy wigs. Yeah. Because he kind of had like long hair. It was like, hey, man, I'm
just around for the holidays.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, one of my favorite fun facts is about him in that movie. So I always like to ask people, do you remember how much all those pizzas cost?
Like $83 or something like that?
$122.50. Because he says it to like three different people. He goes, that'll be $122.50. Ooh, Uncle Frank goes, it's my brother's place.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah,
take
yeah,
care
yeah.
of it. Don't worry, Frank. We've got cash. Anyway, those are our top three, yeah. well, I guess six now, suggestions. Yeah. If you wanted to bring a little Christmas spirit to Halloween this year, that's how you could do it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, Eric, like it or not, spooky season is here. It is upon us. And, you know, there's a new movie that's coming out on Hallmark Channel this Saturday night, which kind of feels like it's got some spooky vibes to it, at least in the title.
Okay.
The title of the film is Mystic Christmas. Yeah, I know, right? Now, Mystic is the name of the town that these people are from. But there's something that they do in this movie that like really stood out to me when I was watching. You know, it's a great story about Juniper and Sawyer, and obviously love is at the heart of this. I don't want to spoil too much, but there's this game that Juniper and Sawyer play repeatedly throughout the film called the Questions Game. And I thought you and I could do our own version of the Questions Game.
Okay.
Here
I like it.
on our show. But we're going to do Christmas edition.
Sure, of course.
Obviously. Because they were like talking about like you could have a roommate and it's anybody in the world.
Sure.
But let's make ours Christmas specific.
A Christmas roommate.
Exactly. A Christmas mate. That's a Christmas mate.
A Christmas roommate, I think.
It works best. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'll start off.
Okay.
My first question for you is actually going to be if you had to be a roommate with any Christmas movie character, who would you choose and why?
You know, I think I'm going to go with Yukon Cornelius.
Whoa.
From Rudolph.
Really?
Because I feel like he's a doer. He gets things done. He handles problems. He's like very optimistic, right? So anything, if you were like, oh man, I don't know if I should take out the trash, Yukon Cornelius would be like, I'll do it. And he's such a like go-getter. And I feel like he's on vacation or a working vacation all the time doing explorations around the world in the Arctic. So I'd have the place to myself a lot.
That's a good point.
So I'm going to go Yukon Cornelius.
I worry about the drains.
The drains?
With all his hair
and
his beard.
You know, I think he keeps it's tight.
But what about when he like takes a shower? Like, you don't think it's going to get like down into the drain?
He's probably a hairy guy, but I think he's going to be the one to clean it.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
He cleans up after himself.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I did not see that one coming. That's a good selection.
Who would you have as a Christmas roommate?
Oh my gosh. I think that's a tough one. I mean, I feel like I would want, I was going to go Buddy the Elf, but then I thought that'd just be too much noise.
That's
like
a lot.
All the time. A lot of noise with Buddy the Elf. I feel like I would go with Kris Kringle from Miracle on 34th Street.
The 47 version or the 1993?
I'm
going to
go Richard Attenborough.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I just, he's very mild-mannered. He feels like he's a pretty neat guy. He feels like he's super active. Feels like he's very respectable, like, you know, and respectful of other people's things. Like, I feel like he wouldn't like go and drink my almond milk, you know, like I feel like he'd be like, okay, and
he's not gonna erase the DVR.
No, he would be like, okay, and the right side of the refrigerator, those will be my items, and the left side of the refrigerator will be your items, and it would just be very easy, organized living that's not too loud, that's super calm and chill, which is, I think, what you want when you go home.
I like that.
So I'm gonna go with Kris Kringle from Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you could have one superpower that you would use for Christmas,
oh my gosh,
what would it be? So you have to use this superpower in some way, either to make your Christmas better or those around you.
Right.
But you have to use this superpower to ace Christmas.
To ace Christmas. Yeah. I like that word choice. I'm between two.
Okay.
Immediately I thought Spider-Man. To be able to like not have to
for
like
cleaning up like the wrapping paper.
That's
on
one
Christmas
way you
morning.
Could use it. Don't worry about it. Boom.
Right
everything
into the bag.
Up, straight into the bag, straight into the trash. Love that. But what I was thinking of is like rather than having to like maybe staple or like attach all the lights to the gutters on the roof and like you could get things like super high, he'd like throw the light string up in the air. Boom. All your lights are up. I thought that would be really,
that is
really cool. But then Superman can fly.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, how are we going to decorate that really tall tree that would look awesome with lights?
Yeah.
I'll fly like sure. Superman.
But Spider-Man could get up there.
He could. So yeah. I think, yeah, I'm going to go Spider-Man.
You're looking for activity help.
And he can do a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Spider-Man. What about you?
I think he's not my favorite superhero, but I think for the purposes of this question,
yeah.
I might go Doctor Strange.
Ooh.
Because he does the sort of like, you know, can transport to wherever in the world or in time. And so the idea of like, if my kid was like, oh man, I wish I could see what a Tickle Me Elmo looked like, you know, I'd be like, let's go back to 1987,
yeah.
You know, or whatever it was. So I think for the ability to get gifts from any time or place.
Yeah.
So nothing would ever be sold out.
Okay.
Right. You don't, there's nothing that you're like, oh man, they sold out. I couldn't get it. Right. you never have that issue. You could also, you could bring people back to their childhood Christmas.
That's
like,
a good point.
Because he does a lot of time travel stuff. So I think I'd go Doctor Strange for
that's a great pick.
For superhero.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. One last question.
Okay.
Here we go. We are basically the Juniper and Sawyer of this podcast
okay.
here today. So you can only eat one Christmas food for the rest of your
Stuffing.
Life. Wow.
Stuffing. Done. Stuffing done. There's no reason.
For every meal.
Every meal.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Every single meal. I've said it before,
yeah.
and I stick to that. I would eat stuffing for every single meal of the rest of my life.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
And I think I may have the same answer as you. Because if it's the right kind of stuffing,
yeah, the
you're
good
getting
stuff.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
You're getting
That's
carbs
Get
through
some
your
meat.
Bread, and you're getting some sausage.
Boom.
In there. And if you're like my wife, you're getting fruit, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're even getting some apples in there. So you're getting fruits, veggies,
yeah.
meats, carbs. Why we are not just
meal.
Doing that already, I don't know. So I'm going to align with you on that one. I'm going stuffing. But yeah, what I loved, you know, when watching Mystic Christmas was this question game that they played. And to see the way that, like, Sawyer and Juniper, the way that their relationship, which you sort of learn about how they originally got to know each other. And now they're sort of like reconnected and trying to figure out, like, do they still have this flame going? Don't they have the flame going? A lot of it played out in these sort of question game moments throughout the film, which I know everyone's going to be excited to see when it comes out. So this movie, Eric, has got everything. It's got love, which we love. It's got a really cool sort of small, quaint town in Connecticut that's on the water. It's got really friendly neighbors. And honestly, probably my favorite aspect of it, animals.
Oh.
Yes, they have got this seal, Peppermint, who's being rehabbed. And this is, honestly, this is probably the most dramatic part of the film. I don't want to give away too much, but like, I get super invested in Peppermint, okay? And I think you all are going to get invested in Peppermint as well. So if you want to learn what this is all about, the question games, Peppermint, the seal, Patty Mirren and the gang, you're going to want to make sure you check out Mystic Christmas, which is premiering this Saturday at 8, 7 Central. That's October 28th, featuring Jesse Schramm, Chandler Massey, and Patty Mirren. Make sure you check it out only on Hallmark Channel.
That is going to be so fun.
Yes.
We are about to do the countdown.
Yes.
But let's squeeze in one little game. Yeah.
People love games.
We love the games. Chris told us that he has a game today. So, Chris, what are we playing today?
We are going to be playing a game that I like to call Christmas Taboo, which, as we know, is the sweetest of taboos. Sweetest taboo. The way it works is
nice.
I love pressing that. One more time.
I
like that song. The sweetest taboo. Sade out there, if any fans.
Oh,
anyway, I sent the fellas a list of Christmas-centric stuff. They'll have to give clues to each other to get them to guess the items on their lists, but to make it fun, I also gave them lists of taboo words that they can't use in their descriptions. So let's see how it goes.
This is going to be fun.
It's good.
Who's starting? Now, are we doing it like where Eric does one, I do one, or am I going to do all of mine at once and Eric will do all
you
of his?
You can go back and forth probably. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll go back and forth.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Do you want to kick us off?
Sure, I'll go start.
All right, here we
I'll start here. Okay. All right. This is something that you would find hanging and...
Mistletoe.
No. You'd like to listen to it. We use it a
jingle
lot of
bell.
Time. Yes, jingle bell.
Woo. Okay. I was getting nervous there.
That's good.
Okay. There's no timer, right? We just like, whenever we get it, we get it. Okay. All right. Next up for me. All right. Here we go. Red nose.
Rudolph. The red nose reindeer.
Will we accept that, Chris?
The
animal.
Reindeer.
Yeah.
Reindeer. Okay. I see. Reindeer. There we go. Okay. Here you go, Danny. These are people that would be
elves
collected
together. And Christmas they would be
carolers.
Yes, carolers. Ooh.
Got it.
Carolers. Good job.
All right. You're doing great at this. All right. Okay. Green.
Christmas tree.
Yes.
That's good. Okay. This is something that you eat usually
pumpkin pie
at Christmas time.
Fruitcake.
Or you might hang it on a tree.
Or you might hang it on a tree. Oh, popcorn.
You might hang it on a tree.
Might hang it on a tree.
Yep.
Is
you might hang it on a tree or it might hang on your tree right there.
Oh, candy cane.
Candy cane.
I was like, there was a raccoon behind you, a bell.
We eat raccoons.
I was like, Eric, what are you trying to reveal to me right now? It's a delicious Christmas tree.
You know, the Christmas raccoon.
Everyone knows.
Everybody eats Christmas raccoon.
Wait, do you call it a raccoon?
Raccoon. Not always, but oh. I say it as a funny way.
Oh, okay, because that's how Zach Galifianakis says it. Raccoon.
A raccoon.
I was like, I hope that's the way you say it. A whipped raccoon. Next? Next up for me, okay. Dessert.
Okay.
Can be shaped like, dang it. Uh-oh. Can't say that. No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Christmas cookies.
A type of?
Cookie. A type of cookie. Mm-hmm. Snickerdoodle?
You could all... Dang it. You... I... you can decorate it?
A Christmas cookie?
It has different shapes that you would decorate it in.
Like making Christmas cookies? Cookie cutters?
It's a type of item that gets made into different shapes at the holiday season and decorated.
Reese's peanut butter cup?
Shrek.
An onion? Wait, hang on. Hang on. Gingerbread man.
It's gingerbread. Yes.
Gingerbread. There we go.
Well, I couldn't say man. I couldn't say house. I couldn't say cookie.
Could you say gumdrop buttons?
That was going to be my next thing.
I love it.
Not the gumdrop buttons.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, Danny. This one is something that you would consume and you would pour it down your throat.
I was about to say gravy until you said that.
It's usually white.
White?
Oh,
eggnog.
Eggnog, yes.
Nice.
That's
great. Boom. All right. Here we go. Something that you would wear when your feet are very cold?
Pajamas. Footy pajamas. Socks.
The Boston baseball team was originally called the
Red Sox,
which was short. Sox is short for SOX. I can say that.
Okay.
For socks? I don't know. It's short for something else?
It's short for something else. Yeah.
I had no idea.
But what is their logo?
It's a red sock. A stocking?
Yes!
A stocking. There we go.
They originally were called the Red Stockings.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Deep cut for all you sports fans out there.
All right. I got one more for you, Dan.
Okay.
This is something that you would hang on a wall, and it is round. And
a wreath?
Yes.
Okay.
A wreath. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
I was like, on a wall. Yeah. Well, I guess we hang it. Yeah. I like it. Okay. Last one. Here we go.
Must be hard.
Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for
mistletoe and holly.
Boom!
Chris you got is like, there. Eh. All right.
Did that one work?
Yeah, for sure.
Was it mistletoe or mistletoe and
it holly? Was mistletoe. I was going to go blank and holly.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Because holly was not one that I couldn't good. Say.
Good. I like that. That
Those
was a fun game.
The taboo words that you put in there, Chris,
yeah, they
made that challenging.
Hard. Yeah. So I love it.
I always get hot when we play these.
The pressure's on.
It's a pressure
yes,
cooker
it is
in
a
here.
Pressure cooker.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Let's get to the countdown, yeah?
Let's do it.
Sweet. All righty, folks. We are doing the top 10 Christmas movie characters 5 through 1.
Yes.
We will remind you of what we did on last episode. I had Sybil Stone from The Family Stone at 10, Natalie from Love Actually at 9, Santa from Miracle on 34th Street at 8, Ralphie Parker at number 7, and the conductor from Polar Express at number 6.
Love that list.
And number 5, I'm going with somebody who's just so full of joy, so full of happiness, and that's going to be Phil Davis, played by the great Danny Kaye in White Christmas.
Oh, nicely done.
Just, he was so filled with, like, energy and enthusiasm and, like, go-get-em-ness and, like, the way that he just pulls Bing Crosby along begrudgingly through this whole adventure that they go on. And he just has endless optimism, which I find incredibly inspiring and aspirational. And I just think, you know, there's so many great moments that he has, whether it's, you know, dancing on the dock or when he does the weird sort of, like, jazzy, you know, black turtleneck kind of bebop
kind of
weird dance that he does like halfway through the thing, the sort of beat poet kind of vibe. But yeah, Phil Davis in White Christmas is so good. It's a classic movie, and I just think that his performance in that is, it feels so perfect for Christmas because it is that optimism, that hope, that sort of always looking for the bright side of things that he really leans into. And so that's why I'm going with Phil Davis from White Christmas for number 5.
Do you feel like Danny Kaye was maybe one of the more underrated performers of that generation?
Yeah, because he did a lot and he was super talented, but somehow he's not mentioned with like Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and, you know, all of the sort of like, I think if you really go into a deep dive, if you were listing like the top 20 actors of that generation, he would be on that list.
Yeah.
But he doesn't ever seem to be in like the top 5 or 10.
Because he had a movie, was it called The Court Jester? Didn't he do a movie called The Court Jester? Yeah. I feel like I've seen like clips. Like he could sing, he could dance. You know, it always felt, it almost felt like he was always sort of like the sidekick. But I think in The Court Jester, that was when he had like a starring role. So if you haven't done a deep dive into Danny Kaye, I always thought growing up that I was named after him.
Yeah, he told me that.
But I don't think that was actually
you can go with it.
The case. But you know what the irony of it is? Did I tell you what my grandfather originally wanted to name my dad, and then I became Danny Jr.?
No, what?
Bing. He wanted to name him Bing.
Wow.
So you could be
that
hosting this show with Bing Jr.
That would have been good. That would have been good.
I'm glad that he chose Danny.
You could go back and change it if you want.
I'm going to stick with where
I'm
at.
Go with Danny.
I'm going to stick with Danny. Yeah, I like the way it rolls. Great selection, number 10. all right, so recapping. Sorry, let me do that again. Great selection. Love your number 5, Danny Kaye. So, so great. All right. So recapping my 10 through 6. At number 10, I had the conductor from Polar Express. At number 9, I had Ebenezer Scrooge. At number 8, I had Cindy Lou Who. Mm-hmm. At number 7, Scott Calvin, otherwise known as Sinterklaas or Tupper. And then number 6, Klaus from the movie Klaus, played by J.K. Simmons. Number 5, I got to go with Jim Carrey's Grinch.
It's a good one.
It's so, so good. We've talked about this movie on the show before, and I just think that the way that Jim Carrey played the Grinch was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I think I posed the question before when we talked about it, like, who else, like, who was a prominent actor of that time could have played that character and played it so incredibly well?
Maybe a Mike Myers, maybe.
Maybe Mike Myers,
I don't think it would be as good.
Yeah, because Mike Myers was the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
So like, I just feel like for all the different faces that the Grinch makes, all the different voices that Jim Carrey sort the of
physicality
brought
of it,
to life, the physicality of it, the commitment to the silliness, but also the ability to tap into the heart.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one thing when we think about Jim Carrey's career. So often we think about Dumb and Dumber, we think of Ace Ventura, Liar, stuff. Liar, Truman Show, like the humor stuff. But like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, he goes real deep in that film. And I think he is just one of those actors that is able to do the mathematics of comedy and to do the physicality, but also to pull it back and to tap into the emotion of a human being.
He's, I don't know if you've followed him much recently, but he sort of is like kind of retiring from acting.
Yeah.
He occasionally will do a project here or there, but he's big into painting now and also religion. He's found faith. And he's a very like interesting guy in his way of talking about what fame is and what we all, even if we're not famous, we all like put on masks and try to be a type of person for other people. And he's like really into this sort of like stripping that away and getting to our true selves and really honoring who we were made to be. And he's very like philosophical now. You know, he has a very deep sort of curiosity about life right now, which is very different from his early days of just over the top, you know, hello there, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so interesting. He had this quote that he shared, I guess, I don't know if it was from like a guru or somebody that he'd met with, where he was talking about like depression. And he said, you know, it's deep rest. He goes, when you think about like being depressed, he goes, you know, talking about the masks, right, that we all sort of put on and like these characters that we try to play. And he brought it back to himself is that like he has that line where he goes, I was playing Jim Carrey and it was a role I was honored to sort of receive or whatever he's talking about. And it's so beautifully said is that especially nowadays where we're so concerned about what people think about us all the time, you know, to just embrace who you genuinely are and don't be worried about what other people think about you, or expect out of you. So yeah, I think his performance in The Grinch is brilliant. And again, just the arc that, you know, the Grinch sort of goes on where you get to know who he was, you know, in the live action version as a child, and you understand like the trauma that he sort of went through and why he became who he became. But then when that love is shown to him, how he matches that love is so, so beautiful. So that's going to be my number five.
Love it. Great choice. My number four is going to be Bob Cratchit. Bob Cratchit. Now, you could say from which Christmas Carol.
Right.
I'm going Mickey Christmas Carol.
Ooh, okay.
So that's Mickey Mouse as Bob Cratchit with Tiny Tim and Minnie in the house, and they're cutting up the little bean because that's all they have to eat is like one lima bean or something like that. I love Christmas Carol as a story. There's so many great versions of it. The Mickey one is my personal favorite. And I just love the way that feels like classic Mickey Mouse. Mm. And like Mickey Mouse to me, we talked on the last show about Tom Hanks, you know, and how he just is like just that everyman that we all can just sort of like see ourselves as. I feel like that's Mickey in this role. Mm. You know, Scrooge is, we're kind of like watching his story, but we feel like we're the Mickey.
Yeah.
Who's like sort of forced to work really hard and is just trying to provide for his family.
Right.
And tries to do his job and is very cold. And can we throw one more coal on the fire? And he's like, not today. I love Bob Cratchit. So I'm going Mickey as Bob Cratchit in Mickey Christmas Carol. But I'm going to give you a little caveat.
Okay.
I don't know if we've talked about this before. Have we talked about the Play That Goes Wrong and that whole group and how they have a Christmas Carol version?
I know we've talked about them as a company,
okay,
but I don't know if we've ever talked about that.
So if you never heard, there was a play on Broadway that was called The Play Goes Wrong, Play That Goes Wrong, and it was by this group called Mischief Theater that's out of England, and they have a TV show that you can get on Amazon Prime. And they have a bunch of like longer full shows that you can get, I think, on iTunes. They basically do theater shows as a fake acting troupe, and everything goes wrong. People forget their lines. People get glued to the scenery. Like the lights are falling down and hitting people. It's very farcical and very fun. And they have a Christmas Carol version that is so good. And I think it's the guy that's playing Bob Cratchit
in that he has no idea what his lines are. And so they've written his lines all around the set. And so he'll sort of like be looking at you, but then he's reading the door, and then he'll read what the line is on the door, and then they'll close the door and he can see the second half of his line. It's very, very funny. So if you've not checked out Play That Goes Wrong, but the Christmas Carol version, you got to check it out.
It's so good.
Very, very funny.
So good. I got to check that out because I saw the Play That Goes Wrong on Broadway, and I didn't get to see the Peter Pan one that they did here recently, but I think I saw it 5 times on Broadway.
It's the best.
And because the show would start like the moment you walked into the theater. Yeah. And it was like, sometimes slapstick can get a little exhausting, but the way they write
they do it so good.
It's so brilliantly done. So definitely check that out. Well, Eric, for the first time this season, you and I have the same selection
in the same exact spot. Yeah.
I have Bob Cratchit
yes.
at number 4 on my list. What you were saying when you were talking about your why behind Bob and what he sort of represents is it's something that I agree with 100%. Like, Bob is so many of us who are like just trying to get by, and we've got like family stuff going on at home, and maybe though we don't like our boss or we don't like our job or whatever it is, we love our family more than we dislike the place that we're going to. And so we want to be there for those people. I love Bob because he is so committed to his family.
Yeah.
I think Bob Cratchit feels like the ultimate family person.
Yeah.
You know, like he goes and puts up with Scrooge and all this business because he knows that that's what he has to do to ensure that Tiny Tim and all the kids and his wife are taken care of. And what I love about Bob is that he never badmouths Scrooge.
Yeah.
He, above anyone else, has every reason to hate on this guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like he finds the gratitude in it that, like, at least I am employed.
Yep.
At least I have somebody that pays me to go to work and that we're taken care of and we have a roof over our heads. Like, I think Bob, you could look at him as like, you could feel bad for Bob. You could pity Bob. Or you could look at Bob and be inspired by him, I think, and the level of gratitude that he is able to have and the way that he shows up for those that he loves and the way he sort of like sacrifices maybe his own joy at times to ensure that the people he loves are taken care of.
And he's not like punitive to Scrooge when Scrooge makes his turn, you know? He's not like, well, no, you've been a jerk the whole time. He accepts him in and he says, all right, come on, let's go have dinner.
Have dinner at our place. Like, he just immediately welcomes him in. It's like matching love for love. I love Bob Cratchit. I think he's the type of person we could all just take some notes from.
Absolutely. I love that. I can't believe we had the same one in the same spot. That's good. It's pretty good. All right, my number 3. Ooh, this is so good. So good. This is going to be a Santa.
Okay.
And there's so many Santas to choose from.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Christmas Chronicles Santa, played by Kurt Russell, is so good. I know I've talked about it in previous seasons, but if you have not watched Christmas Chronicles, get on it, people. It is so good. The second one is also good, but the first one is chef's kiss.
Yeah.
So good. It's original. It doesn't feel like a lot of Christmas movies do have a similar theme and you can kind of see where they're going. This one feels like a new type of story. There's adventure in it. If you have young kids that aren't like young, but are like maybe my kids' age where they're preteen-ish,
yeah.
And they're like, I don't want to watch that. And like, trust me, it has action and adventure. And Kurt Russell plays Santa in such a great, magnificent, heroic, unexpected way. He sort of makes a whole point of how he doesn't say ho ho ho.
Yes.
And like, they're like, come on, say it. And he's like, I don't say that. But then he says it one time, which is very cool. And he has this great sort of knowing magic. And similarly, how we talked about how the conductor from Polar Express, like, doesn't spoon feed the lesson to the protagonist.
Right.
He does that same thing where he doesn't tell these kids that he's on this adventure with what to think, but he puts the right things in front of them for them to realize the lesson and learn the lesson. So his costume is so great. He's got that kind of like, he's not fat. He's sort of just regular man, but he's got like this red leather kind of like trench coat thing.
It's so sick. Yeah.
And he's got this awesome hat where it's like dangles like almost down to his waist. It's like super long. It's just so awesome. It's a great movie. The sleigh is so cool. There's a great cameo at the end of the first one. So yeah, I'm going with Santa, played by Kurt Russell, Christmas Chronicles, as my number three.
Why do you think we're having like so many people who maybe aren't willing to jump on the Christmas Chronicles bandwagon?
I think because it is a newer movie and people just assume, well, it's not going to feel, at Christmas, I want to watch the classics. I want to watch, you know, White Christmas and Elf and like, you know, National Lampoon's. Those that we think are like our favorites, and there's nothing wrong with those. But there are great ones like Klaus and like this one. Like there are new good Christmas movies being made.
Do you think it's because they didn't come out in the theater?
And Probably a little bit.
And like there's that nostalgia of like it's the holiday season and this new movie and the only place you can go is to the movie theater and like it's decked out for the holidays. It's just it's a vibe, you know? Maybe because Klaus, another streamer.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know. I wonder those things sort of all the time. I wonder if they were to release it in the theater, if it would help.
I mean, sometimes they release some of their stuff in theaters just for Oscar contention.
Oh, okay.
So they like release it for like a weekend in the theater so then it can say that it had a theatrical release. Yeah.
Okay. Tricky. Well, it's a great one regardless. Good. People need to check it out and get on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
All right. So number three for me, I'm shocked that I have this at number three. Oof. I think most people would expect me to put this at number one.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think you know who it is?
I'm guessing it's something from Home Alone.
Yep.
It could be Kevin McAllister.
It is Kevin McAllister.
Kevin McAllister, yeah.
This was hard. This top three could have gone one of three ways.
Sure.
Usually it's one of two ways here. Is one of three ways.
Okay.
I almost feel like I could have just made 1A, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C sort of situation. What I love about Kevin is Kevin loves Christmas. Like Kevin is, I feel like, on the level of obsession with Christmas that we are, right?
Yeah.
I also love that like Kevin, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm not the youngest, I'm the oldest, but I feel like a lot of times the youngest like feels like everyone sort of like your voice doesn't matter. And like, maybe you sort of like pull back as a result of that. Kevin gets louder.
Yeah.
You know, I love that Kevin has this fighting spirit. I love that Kevin loves his family so, so much. Like, and you see that as the film unfolds where he's sleeping with like the family portrait in the room and he's doing all the things that they would have done if they were all there. And all he wants in the end is for his family to be back home with them. And I just love the way that Kevin defends his home.
Yeah. Very resourceful.
Very resourceful. He's a smart kid. He sort of like makes me think of Batman.
Yeah.
Who's like my favorite superhero, like doesn't have like super strength or like super fast. It's just like someone who uses their brain.
Yeah.
And I love that Kevin does that in an effort to protect his home and to protect this safe space that he lives in with his family. And he kicks butt.
How old do you think he is, the character in that movie?
I think eight. I want to say, yeah. Feels like
that's crazy to think of Miles. Miles is eight right now.
Yeah.
And to think of Miles like defending our home by himself.
Right.
Seems crazy, but that's why that movie's so great.
I just think kids are smarter and stronger and more resourceful than we give them credit for sometimes, and Kevin clearly proves that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my number three, Kevin.
I love it. That's very good. I will say, I wanted to put some Home Alone people on this list, but I figured that you would have it covered.
I got you.
So I didn't add them, but I do love them. All right. My number two also could be number one. So good. And that's going to be George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. Just played by the great Jimmy Stewart. We've talked about this movie a lot over the last couple of seasons. It is just, it means so much to me personally. The story means so much to me. The watching of it is so traditional for me now of like when I'm staying up late and wrapping those last few presents, I always watch It's a Wonderful Life Christmas Eve every single year. And even if I'm by myself or if me and Lisa are watching it together and we're wrapping those last few presents and it feels like Christmas Eve, his performance, I mean, Jimmy Stewart was the Tom Hanks of his day, right? Where he just could do no wrong. He was just affable and lovable, and men liked him and women liked him, and he appealed to everybody. And the character of George Bailey,
I just love, again, I love optimism, and he's so optimistic, and he's so does what he can for his family and for his business and for his town. Yeah. And he's so sacrificing and selfless, and he's absolutely an aspirational person.
Yeah.
And to see somebody who is so good and positive be broken down in the film, but then like figure out how to get himself back up is just that's why it's a classic and one of the best films of all time, I would say. So I'm going for best Christmas movie characters, George Bailey at number two, but he could have been number one.
He's so good. I love what you brought up about like that optimism, but then like having to navigate challenges and then coming back from that. I think that's when so often in life a lot of us have been faced with this, you know, recently, right? It's like me, I would consider myself to be a very optimistic person, you know, and then some bad stuff happens and you're like, well, now I got to like prove that this is who I am. Like it was really easy for me to be optimistic when things are going great. And then when life sort of hands it to you, you know, you find out who you are. And I think you gain a sense of gratitude for the times when life was more simple, and you really start to empathize for people who have faced a lot of hardship, you know, and George Bailey being able to battle back through all that stuff is, it's a beautiful story. And I think something we can all, you know, aspire to for sure. All right. Number two for me, again, could be number one, but it's number two. It's going to be Clark W. Griswold. Again, when I think Clark is almost sort of like an adult version of Kevin McAllister.
Sure.
Clark is obsessed with Christmas. I think of myself being like a Clark Griswold type person, you know, and I think more so now that I'm a dad, I start to see like the parallels between Clark and myself, where, you know, there's that scene with Beverly D'Angelo's character and Clark in the beginning when she's like, you just set such high expectations for things. He's like, when do I do that? She goes, birthdays, weddings, da da da. And I was like, oh, I kind of do that, you know, but the thing is, and why I relate to Clark is that I don't think it's selfish.
No.
Clark doesn't want to have the brightest house in the block for himself. No. He wants it for his family. Like what does he always say? I want that old fashioned family Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what he's excited about. And even when the lights don't work and Aunt Bethany shows up wrapping her cat and, you know, Uncle Lewis lights his tree on fire and all this sort of stuff, that he's still able, you know, obviously he hits his breaking point eventually, right? As we all would, but he's just trying his hardest to keep it together,
to hold on,
to hold on, not for himself,
but
for his family. And that's where I relate to Clark, is like, I want my children when they're, you know, in their 20s, 30s, they don't need to host a Christmas podcast, but like to be like us, right? And to look back and be like, gosh, my parents like did so much to ensure that like I created these great memories when I was a child. And the one year it was the lights, the next year was the trip we went on, the next year was that thing that I never thought I was going to get, but like I got it, you know. And that's where I relate to Clark, is that I think he's a family man at heart. You know, obviously wants to put in the pool. I mean, that's a representation, and that's where I relate to him, is just
like
wanting the best for my family all the time. So that's my number
hashtag
two.
Dad goals.
Dad goals.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I love it. All right, I have one more. We might have the same number one.
I think we do.
This is exciting. Yeah,
when you said your number two, I was like, oh, I think we're going to be...
Right. Let's say it at the same time, and then we'll just both talk about it at the same time. Is it one, two, three?
Frosty the Snowman.
Elf. Oh, Frosty, you're lying. Buddy the Elf. Oh, just the best. You know that we love Elf. We love Will Ferrell for so many reasons. We love, as we've been saying through this whole countdown, we definitely love optimistic characters. Yeah. And I think Will Ferrell's performance as Buddy is just full of joy and optimism and love for Christmas and not caring that other people aren't into it and not like judging himself and just going with it. Is so great. You can say a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think just someone who lives their most authentic life, you know, and the fact, like, there's something to be said for being oblivious.
Yes.
You know, like, what's the saying that, like, ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss,
yeah. I think the fact that, like, Buddy is able to navigate his life and just be like, this is who I am. This is what I love. This is what I'm into. And doesn't care what anybody else thinks about it. Like, it's a beautiful way to live your life, yeah. but I think it's a beautiful gift to other people because it can shake us all and be like, whoa, wait, why do I care so much yeah. about whatever other people think? Yeah. Like, you know, and that's what this show is about, right? You know, here with Christmas Countdown is that we want to come together and just geek out about this thing that we love, but we want you as the listener, as the viewer, to have this safe space to laugh, to yeah. cry, to reminisce.
To love Christmas in the middle of October.
Yes, exactly. You know? While you're sweating, wearing yes. a hoodie in Southern California. Like, that's really what's at the heart of this is that it's taking from people like Buddy the Elf and just saying, like, be you, love what you love. We're all geeky about something, whether it's cars or Pokemon or football or whatever it is. Own who you are, own what you love, and don't be worried about what anybody else thinks, because I guarantee those people, one, they don't really care.
Yep.
And second of all, they have stuff that they're super into as well that they want to geek out about too. Yeah. And I think you geeking out about what you love, it's encouraging to them to do the exact same thing, you know? And I think that's what Buddy, I think, represents
the best
to us, you know? And hopefully that's what our show can represent to you guys, is a safe space to just geek out and freaking love Christmas, man, you know? Did you think I was going to say it?
That was close.
All of a sudden,
That was close.
No, there was an FR in there for sure. Eric got super sweaty over there for a second.
Wow. Spicy.
Chris was ready with the beep button there real quick.
All right, folks. That's going to wrap it up for us here on episode number 4 of our top 10 Christmas movie characters. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you rate and review. Follow us on all the socials. We appreciate the love. Tell your friends about us. We're getting closer to Christmas every day.
One more thing. People probably really love these characters we were talking about. And if they want to hear more.
Oh, that's true.
We have a Patreon episode that will be dropping tomorrow. Drops every Friday. We release it to our Patreon fam. And cool feature on Apple and Spotify is you can just subscribe there. Maybe you don't want to create a new profile on Patreon. You're not into that. You can actually start with a free trial. On Apple, you get 3 days for free. Just click that button, you know, in the app. That'll get you all set up. You have tons of bonus content waiting for you. And Spotify, you can do the exact same thing. You get bonus episodes every single week leading all the way up to Christmas.
So you'll hear our 15 through 11.
And we sort of like, I feel like we're a little bit more like chill. It's like the after party, like after show sort of thing. Maybe we take off our hoodies so we're not sweating so much.
Maybe.
We'll see how we feel. But yeah, it's a great way to get a bunch of bonus content. So make sure you check it out.
Fantastic.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're going to close it how we always do, by saying Merry Christmas.
And Happy Holidays.
We will see you on the next one.
Bye-bye. Laters.